Welcome to the HPCC Systems Podcast, your resource for gaining insight into the latest big data trends, hearing innovative ideas from the industry's thought leaders, and learning firsthand knowledge from our team of experts who manage and deploy HPCC Systems, a proven data-intensive supercomputing platform designed for the enterprise to process and solve big data analytical problems. For more information, go to hpccsystems.com. Hello, I'm Trish McCall with LexisNexis, Community Manager for HPCC Systems. This week I wanted to share a dialogue between our trainers, Richard Taylor and Bob Foreman from LexisNexis. They had a great discussion about the history of the HPCC Systems platform, and they talk about how big data evolved and how our involvement in its earliest form led to the birth of ECL, Thor, and Roxy. It's an interesting story, very informative and educational, so with that, I'll turn it over to them.
Thanks, Trish, and hello to everyone out there. My name is Bob Foreman. I'm a senior ECL trainer here at LexisNexis, and with me today is our chief trainer, Richard Taylor.
Hello, everybody.
Actually, to those of you who may not know us, we are the ECL trainers on the HPCC team. I've known Richard for over 15 years now, and we work together at another software company, but the dream team of ECL training has been together now for almost a year and a half now.
Yeah, I think so. You came on board in January 2011.
Yeah. Many of you may not know this also, but Richard has been along for the journey in big data technology for the past 12 years. And today's podcast is a look back at those years in a segment we like to call The History of Big Data, Data. That's my best Mel Brooks. So where should we start, Richard?
Public record data is massive. It's huge data sets, and technology at the time that would only allow a maximum file size of 2 gigabytes. And that's too small to hold the data that would allow for extremely large amounts of data. And so one of the first things that we did was create our own file system, where we basically took a file system. We bought the source code for an existing ISAM data file system, and the ISAM files that were in that system were limited to 2 gigabytes max, because back in those days, the record pointer for each record in the file was a 4-byte signed integer, giving you a maximum file size of 2 gigabytes. So what we did was we bought the source code for a good file system like that, and changed all those record pointers from 4-byte signed integers to 8-byte unsigned integers, changing the maximum file size from 2 gigabytes to something really, really, really big.
Huge range
of data. We called that file system Hosed. So that's the first thing we did towards working with big data, and we were using that file system on Sun boxes with EMC disk arrays.
Right. Excellent. So, with all this now ramping up and these systems getting larger, how was the concept of ECL born?
Well, before ECL came along, we had a problem, and the problem was that we had a customer. We were doing marketing data, which was as close to public records data as we could get at the time. So we started working with marketing data and amassing huge files of marketing data. And we had a customer who had about 10 gigabytes of data. And we hosted their data for them and put them into our hosed file system so that we could create a single GUI for them to query into their data nice and easily. And we started out by simply using the hosed files and using as our query language our own version of SQL. It was pretty much standard SQL, but we didn't bother to try to recreate Oracle or anything like that. We just implemented SQL features as we needed them. And so we had this SQL data set called Hosed, and the problem was that every month they gave us new data. And we had this 10 gigabyte file, but the way that we created the GUI interface to allow them very fast access was we created indexes into the data. Now, we were indexing on the various demographics, because that's what marketing data is all about. It's about the demographics and how can you index into that. And the problem was that they had, you know, like 50, 60, 100 different demographics for any given individual. And in order to create fast access, none of their customers actually ever wanted to use exactly the same set of demographics as anybody else. So to be able to allow for all the possibilities, what we did was we indexed on all the possible combinations of all the demographics. That meant that we had a bazillion different indexes into the data. Got to the point towards the end when we had 10 gigabytes of uncompressed data and the indexes were automatically LZW compressed, and we had so many indexes that we ended up with over 100 gigabytes wow. of indexes into that 10 gigabytes of data.
Wow.
It became untenable. And so they've only got 10 gigabytes of data. Why don't we just throw away the indexes and just do a full table scan? Well, I know all of you that are listening that that know anything about SQL databases, you don't ever want to do a full table scan, do you, right? They only got 10 gigabytes of data. Let's load it all into memory. Except that we didn't have any machines that you could put 10 gigabytes of memory on.
Right.
So here's where the real smart part came in. Well, why don't we take that 10 gigabytes of data, split it up into 10 1-gigabyte chunks. We can load 2 gigabytes of memory onto a single box. So we load each 1-gigabyte chunk onto a separate box, 10 separate boxes, and put all the data into memory and send the same query to all 10 boxes. And when we do that and aggregate the results that come back from them, now you've got a memory-based a query machine that can scan at memory speed being nanosecond time versus the millisecond time that it takes to get to disk, means that you're going now three orders of magnitude faster and sending the same query to all 10 boxes. All you need is a box to aggregate and send the queries. And that's how we came up with our first massively parallel processing cluster. We called it HOLE. And so it was we had a HOLE cluster type that was memory-based. It would load all the data into memory when you brought it up, and you could query it as much as you want. It would do a full table scan on every query and return your results in sub-second time for nice, simple little queries.
Right, but then...
So that was the year 1999 when we created that stuff, that technology.
Then we were approached with a problem that was a little more difficult than using standard SQL, right?
Oh, yeah, because somewhere along the line, another company based around Atlanta heard about this cluster technology that we were using and came to us with a particular problem. And they had this really cool algorithm that would calculate the likelihood of a given individual to be going to bankrupt within the next 30 days. And the problem with that was that they were running this algorithm on the latest, greatest mainframe from IBM and making it go as fast as possible by writing all their code in assembler. Mm-hmm. But they could only run this thing on 5% of their data at a time, because 5% of their data would occupy 100% of the mainframe time for 28 straight hours.
Wow.
28 hours during which they could do nothing else. If they had bothered to run it on 100% of the data, it would have taken like 24 days. And they would have only had data good for another 6 days. So they came to us with this problem, and we took one look at the problem. And our chief data scientist, David Bayless, took a look at it and said, no, I'm not going to solve this problem. He's a British fellow, so that's why he sounds like that. And he took one look at this and says, no, we can't solve this problem in SQL. We need a better query language. So they gave us a little bit of money and 90 days, and we spent like the first 60, 65 yeah. of those days creating the genesis of the ECL language that we have today. It started out as a query language to query into that memory-based data sets that were on our HOLE cluster. At the end of day 90, when we actually had the ECL language and had implemented their algorithm in the HOLE platform, what we did was we showed it to them on day 90. We hit the go button, and they gave us 5% of their data, and they gave us the results that we should get, and the algorithm, of course. And we duplicated the results by duplicating the algorithm in our ECL language. And so the 5% of the data, that's the 28-hour problem. And when we hit the go button on day 90 to show them what we had done, We took that 28 hours worth of work and we accomplished it on our platform in 6.5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot faster. And so they said, that was very nice. What happens if we give you 100% of the data? So they gave us 100% of the data and we made exactly one change. The one change that we made was instead of loading the 5% data on a 40-node cluster the way we had, we took the 100% of the data and loaded it onto a 200-node cluster. We ran exactly the same ECL code, not changing a single character, hit the go button, and the 24-day problem got accomplished in 6.5 minutes.
Wow, that's just wonderful. And so this genesis of the first ECL. You were the writer of the ECL language reference back then, weren't you?
Yeah, this was the fourth quarter of the year 2000, and the very first language reference. It was about 17 pages, showing them the direction that we were going, and that's how the first language reference was written.
And today we have a language reference out there in a PDF format that's about 370 pages, I believe.
Yeah, it's it keeps growing. It's been growing now for about 12 years.
One of our colleagues, John Holt, said, he said, it's organic.
It's organic. It does keep growing.
So, cool. After the birth of ECL and this new power, What happened next? We went into like the Acron products and...
The genesis of ECL happened in the fourth quarter of 2000. And so on January 3rd, 2001 was when we started to work on the Acron public records database. Now, Acron, we were using the host files, we were aggregating public records, and we were hosting them on the... On the Sun Unix boxes with the EMC disk arrays.
Right.
And we provided a website, and we had an interface in between the website and the data that was called Moxie, which is Mike's Online XML Interface Engine.
So that was good, and the customers loved it so much they wanted more and more and more, right? So we ran into that problem with indexes again. And
well, yeah, we ran into a slightly different problem with indexes with the accurate stuff. It was the sheer size of the indexes that was the problem, because our public records databases had had billions, literally billions of records in them. And, you know, when you're creating an index on a 10 billion record data set, you know, the index is going to have 10 billion leaf node entries. And the way that you build an index is by taking the search terms and the record pointers and creating the leaf nodes and sorting them first. Well, when you're sorting 10 billion records, that's a lot of sorting. Here's the problem. We were doing this. We were doing our weekly data build on a pair of 26-way SUNs. And it was taking us 110 hours just to build all the linkage, you know, the primary key, foreign key relationship type of indexes that we needed to link the data properly. It was taking 110 hours to build all the indexes because the indexes were so large.
Roughly 5 days or so.
Roughly 5 days. Yeah. And if you had a problem in the middle, bam, you just slipped your once a week release date.
Wow.
So what we needed was a better way to build indexes. And we decided to take the massively parallel processing technology that we had created for the Holy cluster and create a new cluster type specifically to do ETL type of work. And that's how the idea of Thor was born. Thor, of course, being the Norse god of thunder, and he has in his hand a big hammer, and that big hammer will smash any data problem into submission. That's the concept there. So we created our first prototype 400-node cluster of Thor, and when we went to move the index build onto Thor, instead of taking 110 hours to run, it took between 6 and 8 hours to run, which is a lot better.
Fantastic.
A lot better. A lot faster.
Wow. So that's cool, Richard. So we've got Thor, we've got HPCC, we've got ECL, and now how did Roxy come into the picture?
Well, once again, Roxy was created to solve an indexing problem. Holy was created to get rid of indexes. Thor was created to build indexes. Roxy was created to use indexes, because the problem with building all of our indexes on Thor was that once we got done building the indexes, the indexes for the public record stuff needed to get moved from Thor over onto the Sun Unix system so that the Accurate Public Records database could work correctly. So the problem is that we built the indexes in multiple file parts, and the indexes that were built on the Sun Unix system were single physical files that are just very large. So we had this problem of despraying the all multiple file parts from the Thor and stitching them all back together as a single index file on the Sun EMC platform. So that was a process that would take a couple of hours by itself. Plus, add to that the fact that we had to have two teams of people working on this system, a team of people that really knew ECL and did all the ETL work on Thor, and a separate team of people that would know the Sun Unix EMC platform and the Moxie interface between that and the website. Now, that's not a terribly efficient type of thing to do for with your personnel. So we wanted to combine the personnel and the platform so that we could have a single team of people that could work on anything. So what we needed was a massively parallel platform that would rapidly deliver data using indexes, and that's how Roxy was born.
Right, right. And originally Roxy was named after the gentleman that came up with it.
It was Richard, of course. Right. And we're not talking about me. We're talking about the other Richard, Richard Chapman.
Richard Chapman, our chief and guru of ECL and HPCC development.
Absolutely.
That's great, Richard. And that kind of brings us to the present. And I'm constantly reminded how blessed I am as we're both surrounded by a dedicated group of very smart people, including yourself, Richard.
And well, thank you, Bob.
You know, and thanks a lot to you for some great information and a look into the big data problems that were solved by the evolution of Thor and Roxy and ECL.
Well, by the way, let me mention one last thing here. You've probably never heard of Holy before this podcast, and the reason you've never heard of Holy before and you've only heard of Thor and Roxy is because Holy is deprecated technology. It doesn't serve a particular purpose for any of our products anymore, and so therefore all of its capabilities that we really, really need have been moved over onto the Roxy platform, so that Roxy is our data delivery platform.
All right, excellent. So, well, I guess that's it for us. I'm going to hand this back to Trish and some of that great music of the intro and outro of our podcast. That's by the way, it's my nephew and his band, Behold the Wolf. They've a local band down here in South Florida, and they graciously gave us access to their music, and love polishing up that podcast, and just it's just a great thing. So thanks for listening, and thanks for having us on, Trish, and have a great summer, everyone, and we'll see you in class.
Thanks, Trish. Thanks, Bob.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the HPCC Systems podcast. You can find this podcast along with other information on our website at hpccsystems.com. Also, be sure to join our LinkedIn group. Follow us on Twitter and our other social media channels to hear about our latest news, product updates, and events. Just go to hpccsystems.com/connect. Until next time, take care and best of luck with your big data initiatives.